that make Christmas so special, isn't it? Every family has a few of their own. I don't know what yours are. One of ours, I think I mentioned it last year actually, is the way Heart Radio make the already fierce radio wars in our house far worse than they already are by throwing Heart Extra Christmas into the mix as well. Get ready to turn up the festive feel-good, they say. Often. I wonder how your festive feel-good is doing right now. Is it warming up nicely as the big day approaches? It's hard to imagine. It was very high for those shepherds we read about just earlier on. You might want to turn back to that reading a couple of pages just for a moment. There they are, struggling on the festive feel-good front anyway, I imagine. Stuck out on a cold Middle Eastern hillside, middle of the night, just sheep for company. And then any last hint of remaining feel-good shot to bits when the angel arrives. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terrified. You would be, wouldn't you? Forget the way we portray angels in our Christmas cards and our nativity plays today. These sweet beings that look like they would never hurt a fly, that anyone would be glad to see. That's pretty wide of the mark. This is a great warrior of light joined a few moments later as all heaven breaks loose by so many more. No wonder they were terrified. But what words the angel spoke, and what words they sang. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. Peace for people like you and me. And we could do with some of that, couldn't we? In a world where genuine peace seems, let's be honest, so hard to find. Peace with one another. Peace across our political differences. You're right. Peace at home. Have you seen Lidl's Christmas advert this year? It's haunting. Christmas Day in lots of homes. Child after child just slipping away from home because the fighting there is just too bad. The end of the advert, this Christmas, no anger, no arguments, it says. Great idea, if only we could. Peace with ourselves. I don't know if you've heard the phrase some psychologists are now using to describe what they see going on. I notice it's been picked up by a number of head teachers too. An epidemic of anxiety. Not in some far-flung part of the world, but right here. In Britain today. Of course, the irony is Christmas so often makes it all seem worse, doesn't it? It is the most wonderful time of the year with the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you, be of good cheer, the song says, but that's not how the Samaritans see it. For many of those who contact us, I recently heard a volunteer say the next couple of weeks are probably the worst time of the year. Maybe that's your experience too. Either way, as we hear these angel voices coming from what feels a bit like another world, doesn't it? Peace, favour to people like you and me. Don't you find something inside just thinking, yes, please. We so want that too. So where do we find this peace we so badly need? Well, in the one I just told you about, the angel says, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. You find it by finding him. But how does a baby bring peace? I mean, newborn babies, they can be very beautiful, can't they? Sometimes, when they're asleep. We've got friends who've just become parents, though, and given the look of exhausted terror I kept seeing in their eyes in those early days, peace is probably the last word I'd use to describe what they were experiencing. No, says the angel, peace because of who the baby came to be. Good news, great joy for all the people. Today, a saviour. There are some presents, aren't there? It doesn't matter how expensive or nicely wrapped they are. You open them and you can't help wondering if the person who's given it to you is trying to say something. The How to Manage Your Anger book, the rugby team I used to play and gave to our coach one year at a team dinner. The odour eater insoles you find in your stocking. the book my now mother-in-law gave me when I was just going out with Lisa. Cooking for One is Fun. It was cool. You think, are they saying something? It's like that here. Why does God give a saviour, a rescuer? Why do we need one of those? Because we're okay, aren't we? If you're into Twitter at all, I don't know what your Twitter feed has looked like over this last week. In my case, it's been pretty grim until Thursday night when a journalist who I follow retweeted something that was going on at the New York Times. I don't know if you picked up on this. It was just magnificent. They were running a story on rising crime levels in London, which is a bit of a theme, it seems, at the moment for some in the States. So they put a tweet out. Have you experienced a petty crime in London? Click to tell us your story. And it was one of those Boaty McBoatface moments where you just think, you don't know who you're asking. Because the replies they got, and there were thousands of them, were just magnificent. I foolishly listened to the advice that one should introduce oneself to fellow passengers on the tube. My feelings were hurt when I was ignored. I went to Lord's and saw only 13 overs bowled in an hour. Yesterday in Earl's Court, I held the door open for someone, but they didn't acknowledge my kind action. After they passed, I said thank you, just loud enough so they couldn't hear. Fair to say they won't be doing that again anytime soon. And on it went, and it was just glorious. It's one thing, isn't it, to laugh off an American newspaper's attempt to say we've got a problem. But it's quite another to try and do the same when it's the God who made us who says things aren't right. I wonder what you'd say has been the word of this last year, the word that best sums up 2018. The Oxford Dictionaries choose one every year, and it's always fascinating to see what they come up with. I wonder if you know what they came up with this year. The word is toxic. 45% increase, apparently, in the number of times that word's been looked up online this year. But then you think about it and it starts to make sense, doesn't it? So a toxic substance in Salisbury, toxic waste in the environment, toxic air people breathe, toxic environments at work, toxic masculinity, toxic relationships, just so much toxicity, so many different kinds of toxicity all over the place. You see, in our more honest moments, we know we're a mess, don't we? But that thing builders do sometimes, when they come round to give you a quote for something. Do you know what I mean? We think it's, you know, it's just a bit of flaky paintwork that needs touching up. But before we know it, the tools are out and they're gouging into the plaster right back across the wall. I'm really sorry, they say. There's a much deeper problem here. As this angel calls Jesus Saviour, he's doing something like that too. He's pointing to an even deeper problem within. Not just a lack of peace with the world or one another or even ourselves, but underlying all of that, at the root of all of that, a lack of peace with God. You see, let me ask you just one question. I wonder how you feel about the other thing the angel sang just before the peace favour bit. Glory to God in the highest. I wonder how you feel about that. We repeat it, we echo it cheerfully in our carols, don't we, without a second thought. But does it really work as a strapline for our lives? Did any of us leap out of bed in the morning, this morning, just thinking, oh, great, another day that's all about him? The good God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in this eternal relationship of light and love and life, who create people like us, they say, for the privilege of enjoying those things with them too. Like plants blossoming in the warmth of the sun, like a child flourishing in its parents' care. But what do? We turn away. Why should God get the glory, something inside us thinks? You know, why shouldn't things be a little bit more about us? Why shouldn't we get to decide how life should go? Glory to me in the highest, like a plant trying to shut itself away from the light of the sun, a child rejecting its parents' love, a patient pulling a life support machine out of the wall. turn away from light, all you have left is darkness. From love, isolation. From life, death. That sound like our world much of the time? No peace with him, which of course means no peace with one another. Because after all, if I'm trying to take God's place and you're trying to do that too, it's no wonder we're going to clash with each other, is it? The old joke, why did they split up? He thought he was God. She disagreed. And no peace with ourselves. Of course there isn't. It's an awful weight, isn't it? Trying to be God when that's not who we're made to be. So no real lasting peace anywhere, because there's no peace with him. But can't you see? The angel says. That's why he's come. This is love. Not just that God made us to know him, but that he has come after us to bring us back home as well. Good news, great joy for all the people today. A saviour, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, who, read on, didn't stay there, but have you done that? Read on into the story. How he grew up. Lived the life people like you and me should have lived. And then at the cross died the dreadful, dark, isolated death. We deserve to die for us. So that if we trust him, we don't have to. So that if we trust him, people like you and me may have peace with God again. Look, this is fair enough, you might be thinking. It's a carol service, it's a church. You know, we'd expect someone to push the Christian message a little bit. But, you know, no offence. I'm just not really into this God stuff. Happy to be here, but I don't really believe in him. I love the question an old Oxford College chaplain used to ask people who said that kind of thing. Which God don't you believe in? He'd ask. Often there was a slightly awkward pause for a moment, and then they realised you really meant the question. Oh, you know, the big guy in the sky, him. Do you mind he'd ask? Because this is important. Can I just push you a little? Tell me more about this God you don't believe in. I wonder how you'd answer that question. How do you see God, whether or not you believe in him? This rather cold, forbidding figure in the sky. He's got far more power than he has personality. Always watching, waiting for people like us to mess up so he can smite us somehow. Like a sort of cross between a heavenly speed camera and Thor. That's interesting, the chaplain would say. I don't believe in a God like that either. I mentioned the little Christmas advert earlier on. Of course, there are other supermarkets available. Have you seen the Sainsbury's Christmas advert this year? And that crazy school Christmas performance. It starts off looking like it's all going wrong. Do you know the one, the little girl in the massive star costume, the squeaky microphone? And then it just explodes into this stunning activity and colour and light. I wasn't at all surprised to see somewhere it's been voted the best advert this year. And then it has this strap line at the end. We give all we've got for the ones we love. We give all we've got for the ones we love. Isn't that lovely? Do you see the kind of God Christmas tells us about? A father who loves messed up people like us so much, he gives his own son to bring us back to him. A son who so wants that, he willingly comes and gives himself. A God who gives all he's got for those he loves. So you realise that's what he's like. Of course the glory should go to him. And work the truth God loves us like that into our bloodstreams. Well, we really could know peace, couldn't we?